My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Go up and see them. They got a great selection of John Deere products right now. They also handle the Ego line of lawn care products, and they've got a full selection of electric riders, zero turns, handheld stuff. I mean, they got it all. Great inventory right now, ready for spring, so go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right in between Oasis Road and Pine Grove exits. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to do it the right way.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry, I blew it. I was all excited. I was all excited to talk about our guest. Okay, so we have a really fun show today. There's a book that came out on the 9th of this month. So today is, what, April 21st, 2024. And on the 9th, a book called Arabella came out. The prominent photo on the front is George Soros, the guy everybody loves to hate. The subtitle on the book is The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. So if you can't listen to the whole show or something interrupts you or you want to send it to somebody else, you can always go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us, and there is a commercial-free archive that will come up this afternoon. It's free to listen to, free to send it to people. You can download it. It's an MP3 file, and we hope you will make wide use of it and distribution. We have no copyright on that. We do it as a service to the public, actually. It's funny when you pay for service to the public, but it's good. It's a good thing to do. So Scott Walter, he is the president of the Capital Research Center, and it's capital with an A, not an O like Washington, D.C. So the Capital Research Center, and he's author of the new book, Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Just in case you thought that was all a rumor, by the way, that'll be dispelled today. He served in the George W. Bush administration as the special assistant to the president for domestic policy and was vice president at the Philanthropy Roundtable, editing Philanthropy Magazine and producing donor guidebooks on assistance to the poor, public policy research, and other topics. Walter has testified to 5 different congressional committees about Arabella and related subjects and about dark money nonprofits in the U.S. Senate, IRS, and state legislatures. Walter is a frequent media guest who has appeared on major radio and television programs like ours, right? Nationwide.
That's right.
He has written for Way to go. Way to go, hapless sidekick. He's written for and been quoted in outlets like the New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, and the Chronicle of Philanthropy. He's a Georgetown graduate and lives with his wife and 4 kids in Virginia. So
yeah, there you go. If you think you knew George Soros was like funding a lot of stuff, doing bad things for the country, you don't know the half of it.
Yeah, today's the day.
Pick up this book. This book is amazing.
So Scott, sounds like maybe we have something funky going on with your phone, or maybe not.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh, yep. There's something funky going on with your phone. Uh oh.
Got the earphone.
Hey.
Oh, there you go.
Whoops. Yeah, it's just something funky. We'll figure it on the break. Well, I know that your amazing publicist, Stephen Manfredi, who always sends us just the most interesting people, sent us a list of questions, and Bill does have those, but we always kind of like to give you the option to shoot from wherever you'd like to begin, because this is really a great book.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe the first thing to say is just, who or what is Arabella? How about that?
Absolutely.
That's a great place.
We didn't want to blow anything. We decided to stick with what we knew, which was like only the stuff we read about in your book.
It probably helps everybody to know what Arabella is to start with before we start getting into the billionaires who use it and the rest. So the easiest way to think of the Arabella Empire, right, is that it's a network, a whole network of groups. Now, visualize a pyramid. Okay, at the top of the pyramid, you have Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit consulting firm, PR firm, Beltway Bandit, they say in D.C., right? It's at the top, and it creates everything down below. The next is in the middle of the pyramid. You have half a dozen nonprofits of different legal types. And then at the base of the pyramid, you have what ordinary Americans see, right? The hundreds and hundreds of groups that are created by the two higher levels. So you have things like Floridians for a Fair Shake and Opportunity Wisconsin and Secure Michigan Elections. And they all sound swell, and they all sound like it's your neighbors in whatever state you're in doing this, when in fact it's some poor schmuck in a D.C. office creating a website and an accounting code for this thing that looks like a grassroots group.
Yeah, I like the Recreational Trails Project, I think it's
called. Oh, yeah.
That one, you know, it makes it sound like they're going to help us make trails, and
that was the big one at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah, and it's like, okay, so the name is not always indicative of what they're all about.
No, that's right, and that's a beautiful example. So that's in the state of Montana, right? And what happened was, this is all the way back in around 08, when they're just getting started. So folks in Montana, right, they have ATVs and they have motorbikes, and they like to go on their trails in their beautiful woods and, you know, ride around and have fun, right? Now, I can't imagine why anybody else would be upset about this or try to muck with them, right? But bizarrely enough, there are very rich people in the East Coast who want to go harass poor guys on a trail in the boonies backwoods of Montana. Right? Now, nobody in Montana says, hey, I want to mess up those cocktail parties for the New Yorkers, Jane Meyer, talking about dark money on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, right? They don't do that in Montana. But on the Upper East Side of Manhattan or in downtown D.C., they do want to muck with the poor guys just driving around in the woods, right? So that was one of the very first things they did, and it's just so classic. These people have never been to Montana, certainly never been on an ATV on a trail. You know, but by God, they were going to harass those poor guys.
So why were they a target? Is it just the environmental angle? What was the reasoning behind it?
Well, theoretically, yes, it's concern for the environment, right? But as the great historian Paul Johnson, British historian. His specialty was totalitarianism in the 20th century, right? His most famous book was Modern Times, History of the 20th Century. And decades ago, he made the point that environmentalism makes Marxist-Leninism look nice because, Marxist-Leninists were going to take over the factories and whatnot, right? But not every single detail of your life, whereas environmentalists actually have an excuse to be far more invasive to every stitch of clothing you wear, you know, you're breathing out of carbon dioxide, or you're riding on an ATV, right? Marx wouldn't have cared if you were riding on an ATV.
No.
But environmentalists have a reason to care. So, the pattern here is ever more control, power, and money for a tiny elite, very alien to the rest of the country, and ever less actual freedom for you out there in flyover land.
Right. And Arabella, I mean, I'm pretty sure probably 99% of the people out there have never heard of it. When it made the scene, the ripples it was making, people were like, well, who are these guys? What is this? Where did they, where and how did they get their start, so to speak?
45 questions.
Sure. they are officially launched in a small way in 2005 by a guy who had he grew up rich. His family, when he was young, sold the family business for hundreds of millions of dollars. By the way, it was totally fossil fuel connected. It was an auto parts business, right? Mm-hmm. You can't make this stuff up. That sort of got him thinking about philanthropy and the rest. And he had been radicalized in college by an environmentalist guru. We can talk more about the guru. He's a real sicko. This guy starts it in a small way in 05. Now, as best we can tell, the very first sugar daddy for the operation, that is to say, you know, super rich guy who's really starting to pump money into it, that would be this guy you've definitely not heard of, but the left has a lot of George Soroses, and he's one of the other Soroses. His name is Hans-Jürg Wyss, and he is a Swiss billionaire, a foreign national, therefore forbidden from meddling in American politics, theoretically. And so the first year that Arabella breaks through the $1 million mark in revenues is 08, and they take in $1.7 million. And a million of that, so more than half, comes from old Hans-Jürg. Now, since then, he has put in $250 million into the Arabella network. So he is one of the, not the single biggest, but one of the biggest of their donors, and certainly the longest of their mega donors.
So just in case we, we have people who go, oh, well, this is silly. Why would a guy do that? Maybe we ought to address that a little. Well, why would he do that?
Well,
we can't really definitively, but based on your research, why do you think he's silly?
So there's various answers to that. One answer is he, too, claims to be a big environmentalist. Right, he actually lives in Wyoming, despite being not having a passport or even a green card from the U.S. Mostly lives in Wyoming, and lots of his funding has been in environmentalism, for environmentalist causes, although many, many other things as well. And the other reason is that Arabella helps to mask what somebody's really doing. So this guy, this Swiss billionaire, he already has a U.S. foundation, it's a private foundation like the Ford Foundation or Rockefeller Foundation. And he has a 501c4 political nonprofit. Now, C4s are things like the National Rifle Association or League of Conservation Voters, political nonprofits. He has both those things.
As a non-citizen?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Well, in and of itself, right, as far as that goes, that's permitted, right? What's not permitted is for him to do things like, write a check to a politician's campaign or write a check to a super PAC. Now, he did do that, actually, for a while. He gave over $100,000 in they call it hard dollars, right, where you're giving it to candidates, committees, one of them being Friends of Dick Durbin. That's my favorite of his recipients. But that's wildly illegal. Unfortunately, nobody caught that until after the statute of limitations had expired. But you can still go to the Federal Election Commission database of donors and look, put his name in and find them all. Though he tried to pretend this wasn't true for a good while. But the thing is, why does he need to give money, right, to other places? Well, one possibility, again, he claims this does not occur, but one possibility is his 501c4 gives to one of Arabella's 501c4s. Now, we don't know what the Arabella C4 does with it, right? They say that they don't give that money to super PACs, but they give many, many millions of dollars to super PACs. So who knows, right? So there's another possible answer.
So his money is just kind of washed in with all the rest
of it. Yeah, they just wash it in with all these other foundations that they've created. Is that right?
Well, while all of our listeners are switching to decaf, we have to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back. I need to let you guys know. Let's see. I want to make sure I get it all right. The book is called Arabella, A-R-A-B-E-L-L-A. And it is written by Scott Walter, and he is our hostage for the next 2 hours. You're going to learn a lot. You can find everything about that with the link to the book and all that stuff at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Your body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
To be free to keep what I earn, to decide what my kids learn. What I consume shouldn't be the lawman's concern.
Got a hot tip. It's not just Big Brother keeping you in line. this web, Scott, this also pops up as I just got this thing from a lady yesterday. WeThePeople2.com. Join us in sending petitions to all your legislature, blah, 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 blah. And so I always look at the bottom, you know, who's sending it. And it, after about five different iterations, I never was able to get down to who it was that had created this. Is that sometimes what their stuff looks like?
Yes. Again, a whole lot of this, the way this sort of thing operates, is you have to think of the Wizard of Oz, right? So Dorothy goes in and there's this big, scary, impressive-looking thing, right? And only at the end you discover, oh, it's just some guy behind a curtain with a microphone. So, you know, that is a very standard thing in fraudulent politics. And Arabella does it superbly well. They're not the only ones, but they certainly are accomplished at it.
Yeah, and it's no small town game. I mean, they're operating with billions now. Is that right?
I can rattle off a couple of those numbers for you. In 2020... Right, the 2020 cycle, so the years 19 and 20, Arabella's nonprofits took in $2.4 billion. That was more than the DNC and the RNC combined, plus another billion. And then in 22 wow. cycle, which that's an off year, right? Surely that would have gone down some. No, it went up. $3 billion this time, more than the DNC and RNC, plus the Democrat Senate and House committees, and the Republican Senate and House committees.
Yeah.
Half a billion more than all of that.
So this is what we're up against in these major elections, is this dark money coming into the game and really swaying people. Who else is involved? I mean, who are some of the other players in this?
Well, we mentioned Mr. Soros. We mentioned Hans-Jürg Wyss. You also have Zuckerberg giving them tens of millions. You have Warren Buffett is also a major donor to them. He sends it to one of their funds, and between Buffett's money and Arabella, they're just about the biggest advocates in the country on all the abortion issues. You have... Pierre Omidyar, eBay billionaire, is another big donor, plus institutional donors. So never forget about the Ford Foundation. You know, the Ford Foundation gives to pretty much every evil thing that Soros gives to. So it's just, and then other foundations as well, so on and on. It's a staggering array of groups and foundations and donors.
Yeah, you made the comment that when you start getting into this, they all have the same last name, Foundation.
Yes. A lot of really bad foundation. I mean, people are vaguely aware that, yeah, the Ford Foundation's kind of liberal, right? It's like, no, it's as bad as Soros. That's what it is.
So if I understand you correctly, a lot of these foundations pop up and are fighting for a particular cause. Nobody's ever heard of them, but all of a sudden there they are. They got lots of money behind them. They work their magic, and then they disappear. Is that right?
Often, yes. Often something is concocted just for a particular election or a particular issue, yes.
Yeah.
And it can be popped out of existence just as quickly as it popped into existence.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing to me. And they come on the scene, and nobody knows who they are or where they are or who's backing them. And then as soon as the issue's over, they quietly just go away and pop up somewhere else under a different name. I mean, it's really kind of an ingenious
plan. And in a lot of cases, I mean, okay, it's dark money because it's not obvious where it's coming from. And also it's dark motivation, too. I mean, what's the do you have a few that you've stumbled across in your research and you came across it and you thought, oh, my gosh, nobody knows those guys are bad guys. I mean, are there some that are particularly good that people have been really drawn into?
You know, if you think about lots of, because somebody else who gives them money, for instance, would be like League of Conservation Voters.
Okay.
You know, there are plenty of nice little ladies who are sending checks in to the League of Conservation Voters, you know, because they like the outdoors, right? They don't, their donors are not necessarily anything like as twisted as, you know, the mega donors are.
We did a thing a long time ago about the Humane Society of the United States, and HSUS was like, wow, much, much darker than we thought. And there were tons of people, what? They're all about saving dogs and cats. And it was kind of like, there's more to it.
Exactly. It's you know, the folks who write the direct mail campaign letters are not necessarily terribly honest people.
Yeah. And so how do you know? Sorry we're like shotgunning this, but it's like there's just so many questions, right? So you get a thing in the mail or you get something in your email, either way. I always look at the bottom, see where it comes from, and then I go look at them. But you've done a ton more research. What's the smart play on this? How do you figure out who's the good guy and who's masquerading?
I'll give you one more trick. I mean, you're right to, of course, go to the bottom and see, so what's at the bottom here? You know, claiming is the group behind it. But often the better way to do it is to go to the donate button and start going through the motions that you're going to give them money, but look real carefully at each page that's showing up, because often you'll discover, oh, the group that's going to get the money is some other totally different name.
Oh, and they have to divulge that on the pages?
Well, eventually, you know, there's no perfect rule for all examples,
sure.
But you will often find that there's another name. You know, it'll take you to Act Blue or something, and it'll say this is going to benefit the blah 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 fund. Mm-hmm. And your thought is, well, it didn't say the blah 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 fund on the email I was first. You know, I read that to start with. So that's another way. But I have a much better way though for you in general, which is Capital Research Center, where I work, and who's is really the author of this book, because it's years of work by lots of colleagues. We have a wonderful online Wikipedia of the left, and it's called InfluenceWatch.org. InfluenceWatch.org.
I'll be posting that immediately on the page for
it
today.
It has, 13,500 entries, the last I checked. And that's everything. That's foundations, donors, activists, Arabella groups, unions, you know, you name it, in the special interest world, and we've got it. And so that is, you know, you should be bookmarking that, and you should always be checking things, groups out like that. I will say, most of my job in life is just bragging about my colleagues' work. So I love the fact that when I go testify to Congress and I talk to the staffers on the committees, they'll say, oh, we know all about Influence Watch. We vet every witness against Influence Watch.
Oh, no
or
kidding.
Or I go talk to a conservative foundation. I'm asking for money, and they say, oh, we love Influence Watch. Whenever we get some new group asking us for money, we vet it on Influence Watch.
So Influence Watch is not just the bad guys. It's everybody that's involved. In
well, we do have non-lefty folks on there as well, but there are more lefties than righties on the site.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the only reason for that is because if you want to find out about, you know, the Koch Foundation, well, there are a dozen lefty places that'll tell you everything you could ever want to know.
Well, plus they have Politico and MSNBC and CNN, and, you know, they have a pretty good outreach program currently, the left does.
You know,
there are a lot of Capital Research Center is replicated on the left by lots of groups.
Sure.
Not so much on the right.
You mentioned the Koch Foundation. You know, there was a time when they were pretty influential in politics, gave to a lot of organizations. What happened there? I mean, you don't hear much about them.
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that they're no longer as closely aligned with the political party as they used to be. So, around 2016, they were not pleased with the Republican Party going for Trump, and they started to pull back from politics, and especially from party politics. So they just became less engaged than they had been.
Okay. All right.
That makes sense. So what other fun things do we need to know? What other scary things do we need to know? Maybe I should say that.
Well, the book has just story after story. I'll give you another one because, you know, what was one of the big news stories this week? The Biden administration came out with new regs related to Title IX, right, from the Department of Education. So those are the regs that deal with things like men and women's sports and also with how sexual harassment claims will be dealt with on college campuses. And the Trump administration under Education Secretary Betsy DeVos had made those regs much better. So they made it so you had much more due process if you were accused of sexual harassment in college. And also they made it so that there wouldn't be men and women's sports for colleges and high schools and the like. Well, of course, the lefties didn't like that. And here is how the Arabella Network responded to that. All the way back in 2019, so 2 years before the Biden administration's even sworn in on day one, you have a very secretive group that I'm proud to say one of my colleagues uncovered, but a very secretive group working mainly with Harvard Law School folks, was putting together dozens and dozens of very sophisticated legal memoranda that strategized about how to change all kinds of regulations, including those regulations. And, you know, for those of you who've never had to suffer working in D.C. and figuring out what the regulatory process is, it's Byzantine. It's a stunningly complex thing to create and to modify regulations. And I'll spare you the details, but I had to deal with that some when I was in the White House. And it's a very complicated machine, and you need very sophisticated people to figure out the best ways for each monkeying with each particular reg you want to change. So this was entirely funded by Soros money. The head of Soros's main foundation was the guy pushing the money, and he was also the guy, he put himself on the board of the group even. And they ran the money through the Arabella Network. But they also had created a secret website, right? You can make a website that is not seeable by Google or DuckDuckGo or any of the search engines, right? But if I gave you the little website address and you typed it in your computer, then you could go into the website. But otherwise, you could never find it. No one would ever be able to find it. Well, so they did this, and they worked with lots of people, including the head of the whole regulatory process for the Biden administration, right? So, and they also went out and recruited various allies who would have power within the departments once the departments come under, you know, their preferred political party's control. And they did all kinds of things with regs, including those Title IX regs that just finally got settled in a new bad way by this administration. So that's a fascinating story of how all that happened. By the way, let me give you one ironic tidbit to this. That guy who was the head of the Soros main foundation, who put himself on the board and, you know, was obviously a big driver of this, he picked for the person to be running the project a young lady who maxed out to his political campaign when he was running for Congress. She maxed out in donations to him, even though she listed her employment as a student at law school. So, gosh, isn't it fascinating?
Wow.
She has thousands of dollars lying around as a student at law school to max out to this guy.
Yeah, because when I was a student, I was a major political donor.
So you really have to wonder what's going on there, and I think what we can say with certainty is she's just very lucky her last name was not D'Souza.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So another thing I kind of wanted to touch on was talk to us a little bit about the new venture fund and the 1630 fund, because we hear about the 1630 fund in the news every once in a while, but I don't think people really understand what it's all about.
Sure. Those are the two largest and the two most important of those half dozen nonprofits I said were in the middle of the pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
We also call them umbrella nonprofits because they have underneath them, they have dozens or even hundreds of the little fake groups that they create. So the New Venture Fund was the very first thing the very first nonprofit that the Arabella folks ever created. It is a 501c3. Now that just means it's a charity, right? So like your place of worship, you know, like the Boy Scouts, Salvation Army, if people write a check to it, they get a tax deduction for writing the check to that charity. And, of course, a charity is not supposed to be meddling in politics, theoretically. And the 1630 Fund, on the other hand, is a 501c4. Again, that's a political nonprofit like the NRA or League of Conservation Voters. And it can meddle in politics a lot. In fact, it can give money to super PACs, even though, as I said, a Swiss foreign national billionaire cannot. So they're the two oldest and biggest of the half dozen groups that Arabella has created and runs. And it matters that they're a C3 and a C4, because one of the advantages of a C3 is that it has a lot of advantages on the fundraising side, because it's easier to get people to donate to something where they'll get a tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if you are a foundation, right, a private foundation like Ford or MacArthur, Carnegie, all these things, you can easily give your money. In fact, normally you would only give your money to a C3 like that. So New Venture has a super easy time getting money from the Gates Foundation or the Ford Foundation or the Soros' Open Society Foundation, etc. On the other hand, a C4 political nonprofit has great advantages on politicking, right? It can lobby with virtually no restrictions. It can lobby. It can endorse candidates. It can give money to super PACs. So it can take out Facebook ads that are helping candidates or hurting candidates. So it has more oomph on the political side. So one of the things that Arabella offers people is the ability to create matching pairs of these two types of organizations so you can maximize fundraising on one side and politicking on the other. Now,
hold that thought, Scott. I hate to interrupt this because it's a cliffhanger. We have to take a really quick break. The difficulties of live radio. But, you know, we do like capitalism, so we'll let them advertise. And you will get all this information. I've updated you with the Influence Watch and all that stuff on the site at wethepeopleradio.us.
So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you've played before. California's a brand new game.
You know, we've been playing that song on and off for about 14 years, and I have to say it because every time I hear it, it gets funnier because you just keep making more bad decisions.
So we were talking about the
C4. 501c3s and C4s, and I think people just kind of glaze over when that happens, but it's really important to know that those are different, they have restrictions, and there's a reason that they do them that way.
Sure.
Oh, there it is.
As I was saying, you know, the C3s, the charities, they are maximized for fundraising. The C4s are like the NRA, League of Conservation Voters. Those are political nonprofits. They're maximized for political impact in lobbying and electioneering. So it's one of the things that Arabella does for folks is you got to understand how this sort of process works, right? Have fun. Imagine you're a nice little left-wing billionaire and you want to do something, like maybe you want to really push for abortion or you want to really take over North Carolina's politics, something like that, right? So you got a mission, and you walk into their offices one morning in D.C., and you explain, you know, that's what I want to do. I really want to do fight hard on abortion. So they will say, okay, that's great. We're going to create for you a matching pair of C3 and C4 groups. We're going to have, you know, Americans for Abortion Rights, and that'll be the charity, and then we're going to have Americans for Abortion Rights Action Fund, and that'll be the C4. And you write a check to the New Venture Fund for the charity, and you write a check to the 1630 Fund for the Action Fund, right? And then, by the way, the fascinating question is whether folks sometimes write both checks to New Venture, and then New Venture sends the money over to 1630. We don't have direct evidence that they've done that in an improper way, but I can tell you that the New Venture Fund gives the 1630 Fund tens of millions of dollars a year. And it would be very interesting to know just what that was going for.
So is that legal?
This is the problem with the nonprofit world. It is so complicated. Almost anything could theoretically be legal if under certain circumstances, right? But you never know if those very particular complicated circumstances happened, right? Did they document all this? Did they carefully keep track of things? Did their auditors check these things out? We don't know. So it could be. It also could not be. And we don't know. You can give up on the idea that the IRS is ever going to police this because, first of all, they don't have the personnel to police the tax exempt sector, really. But the other thing is, to the extent they do have anybody working on this, they're all lowest learner. It's always going to be lowest learner. You're never going to have fair-minded bureaucrats who are going to treat the left and the right the same, any more than lowest learner did. So you should pretty much give up on the IRS doing anything on this. But I will tell you, for any given state in the country, in almost every state, there is somebody who is empowered to police the nonprofit sector in that state, and it's the state attorney general. So you could have state attorneys general demanding investigations, demanding their books, looking into all of this, shutting them down in their state if, in fact, they appear to have done bad things.
Hmm. So it's a web. It's a web.
So basically, out here in our state, we're screwed. We won't be finding any good facts for you. I'm sorry. In the future, I don't think Rob Bonta is into that sort of thing.
Yeah, California, New York, Illinois. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
But now I will say there is a lawsuit in D.C. That a former employee of Arabella has filed, alleging that. A number of things, alleging that they discriminated against her as a black woman, but also that they retaliated against her when she pointed out that they were violating the tax-exempt laws. Now, that lawsuit's been going on for a year or two. It's probably going to keep going on for at least a year or two. She already has a bunch of documents on the public record from it that certainly look very dubious, and some reporters have dug into those and spoken to legal experts. And, maybe there'll be something that comes out of that civil lawsuit.
And that's really kind of the last thing they want, is a bunch of public scrutiny on a lot of these nonprofits. They kind of like to operate in the shadows, don't they?
Absolutely. Do you know that until our first report on Arabella, which happened in a year in which they had only made it up to the roughly $750 million revenue mark, right? So they were almost on the street starving, right? They've been around for two decades. They were up to $750 million a year in revenue, and not one single news outlet, left or right, had ever explained much of anything about Arabella. There was a tiny bit about 1630 because they were such a big C4 and they were such an important player in, congressional races and things, that they'd been noticed a little bit. But nobody had said, oh, and the 1630 fund is really just one of half a dozen funds operated by this Beltway bandit.
Yeah, I've never heard of any major news agency even mentioning Arabella. I think, weren't you saying the New York Times was one that was kind of following them just a little bit?
Well, again, I would brag on my colleagues. We have now, I want to believe it was 2018 was the first year that we began reporting on all this. And with our pounding on it, year after year, in the last year or two, Arabella has started to squirm under unpleasant scrutiny.
Right.
So, yes, the New York Times has written a few pieces about them and also about Hans-Jürg Wies, in fact, and that have been pretty devastating. Now, again, that's a fraction of the number of pieces they've written on conservative donors, but still, it's something. And Politico has gotten a little better, and the Atlantic, this is my favorite, the Atlantic magazine, left-of-center outlet, and it's a great little story. Give me a second here to tell you the full story, because it's really funny. This is a couple of years ago and it happens just a few weeks before Arabella is going to have to release its IRS public forms that show you how much money they've taken in and everything, right? And it was going to show a staggering amount of money that they'd taken in. Because, again, they just grow and grow. And so their president at the time sat down with the Atlantic magazine for an interview just a few weeks before those all that new information was going to come out. Now, I am certain, I would bet the mortgage, that the reason Arabella sat down with the Atlantic at that time was hoping to have a softball interview that would let them get ahead of the embarrassment of riches that their soon-to-be-released forms provide, right? But, oh, my God, it didn't work out that way. The Atlantic came loaded for bear, and they just kept saying over and over and over again, aren't you just a big dark money outfit like your people attack? Aren't you just a big left-wing dark money outlet just like the folks you attack? And they did it. So I felt sorry for the president of Arabella by the time I was done reading the interview, because she'd been pounded so hard on this, and she didn't have a clue how to respond to that. And she just kept trying to pretend like we're just like a little back office place. We just hire the janitors and have the trash taken away. You know, that's the way. And in fact, finally, the Atlantic person even said, aren't you just the left's equivalent of the Koch brothers? Ooh. And the entire answer the poor woman president could reply was simply, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Absolutely not. It's in the, you can find it in the footnotes, and I encourage you to go read it. It is a scream. By the way, the other thing that was magnificent about that interview, they asked very thoughtful, probing questions that bear an extremely strong resemblance to criticisms I had made of Arabella in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh.
So they clearly had read my Wall Street Journal article and were pitting her with the very criticisms
Is this called Meet Arabella Advisors, the Left's Dark Money Manager?
Yes. It's something like the
massive,
biggest dark money network you've never heard of.
Yeah, the massive progressive dark money group you've never heard of. When you click on the link, actually, that's the name of the article. Oh, I'll post that.
Yes, It is a scream. And the subtitle is something like...
Over the past half decade, Democrats have quietly pulled ahead of Republicans in untraceable political spending. One group helped make that happen.
Yes.
Kudos to you, Emma Green from The Atlantic.
Now, is that the same interview that resulted in exposing who the donors were and the amounts that they were donating that they didn't want exposed?
They just simply worked off of how big they are and how they're totally nothing but what the lefties claim the conservatives are doing.
Interesting. Wow. And that gets, you know, really no airtime because they're always, you know, yammering about the Koch brothers. Although that is really kind of... That's really kind of faded in the past few years. You don't hear much about them anymore.
That's right.
Wow. It's kind of funny, though. Very, very disconcerting. So nothing will change, right? I mean, that's not gonna move the needle, like, unlikely, right?
Well, it's not going to shut them down. They have struggled a little bit. That woman who gave that disastrous interview, she resigned to, and I kid you not, spend more time with family, close quote.
Oh, sure.
Just weeks after the disastrous interview appeared. And then they had an interim guy, and he didn't last that long. Now they have a new guy. They've had to lay off about 10% of their workforce. Now, part of that is just that, you know, once Donald Trump's not in office, it's harder to raise money for left-wing things, right? I'm not expecting to see them shut down any day. But, again, think about that Wizard of Oz image, right? They are the Wizard of Oz. They put out big, scary-looking things for the public, but if you look behind the curtain, it's just some goofball...
Yeah,
setting a website up in the D.C. office.
It's not the whole big operation that they want you to think it is.
Yeah, so it does hurt it when that when Toto pulls the curtain back and you see that it's not what it seems to be, that's, you know, that's putting some real
that
damage
is not good.
To them.
We're up against a hard break. We're going to come back with our guest, Scott Walter. We're speaking about his brand new book here in April of 2024 called Arabella. And when we return, he's going to talk to us about how they have actually changed America and undermined our freedoms. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to do bad things, do it like it's nothing. It's never felt so good. I'm gonna do bad things. You won't see it coming. Watch your step. I've been thinking of doing bad things to you.